Oh, God.
What are you looking at?
It's... You don't want to know. It's this website I found with fan fiction all about us.
Well, that's actually kind of cool.
No, read some of it.
But, oh, my God, it's a slash fiction website.
There's
hundreds of these.
Yeah, and you notice who wrote most of them?
Who?
E to Cash. Eric, did you write all of these?
All right, man. Yeah, you found me out. That's my website.
Why do you have a Ragnarok slash fiction website? Do you realize how creepy that is?
I mean, it's something to do in my downtime, you know? I just write. You should see, I'm like a hardcore med shipper.
Wait, med?
Yeah, like Meyer and Ed. It's a kind
of... Oh, God, what? Man.
I'm kind of enjoying some of these Rylex fix.
What is it? Chalix? What the hell is Chalix?
That's you and Ryan's chair in his basement.
That doesn't even make sense. It's a fucking chair.
Well, man, you gotta think outside the box. This is my OTP you're talking about. You let the ship sail.
Oh, God.
I mean, at least it becomes sentient.
This is probably the worst thing I've ever seen. Why would you write all of these?
No, I write all of them.
No, he's right. Here's one that he didn't write.
Yeah.
Myers Boner Meets the Martians.
By Robert P.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, look, here we go. Myers Boner Conquers the World.
Yeah.
Myers Boner Saves Christmas.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Wow. This one is just... It just says Meyer.
What is that one about? I need to read it.
I think it's just a Meyer slash fiction.
Oh.
Yep, I'm reading it now. He's fucking himself.
It's 10 pages of Meyer masturbating.
Oh.
Mm.
No, it's just... Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, those are pretty good ones. I would say, me, my boner, the OTP.
You like this?
I like me and my boner, yeah.
I don't know, guys. We've been getting hundreds of hits off of this stuff. I think maybe we should just give the people what they want.
Mm.
So what, like, you're saying I should write, like, an omni-ship thing? Like, an Al Ryer one?
No. I think he's saying that we should just Al Ryer right now and record it.
My boner's already out.
Welcome to Ragnarok, your home of the Nerdpocalypse.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Ragnarok.
Yay, it's Ragnarok again.
Yes, it is.
Ragnartastic.
Yeah.
No, Brian, it's Ragnarok.
Or Ragnarrific.
No, it's Ragnarok.
Oh, I'm sorry, I got the name of the show. I've been working on the show the whole time, and it's not called Ragnarrific?
No. I was wondering why you showed up that first day. This was supposed to be a four-man show.
I just was outside and felt like coming in to do something. It was cold.
Yeah.
Wasn't it May? Oh, well, whatever.
Anyway, this is episode 31, The Fanon Canon, or Revenge of the Robe Overlord.
That Robe Overlord, man, he's just angry for no reason.
I think he's angry because he's a robot and can't feel emotion.
But why is that Wait a minute.
Well, there's a problem with that. Thankfully, I put my finger on it.
I don't know. I think it's pretty sad.
Well, I think the Robe Overlord deserves a revenge, and I support him in everything he does.
You're just saying that because you don't want to be eviscerated by the Robe Overlord.
Well, it's a good thing to not want to happen.
He's also on my bowling team.
Oh.
All right.
How is he?
Wonderful.
Is he really?
He's got those wrist-mounted missiles.
Oh, that's right. I've often wondered why sometimes you just start shooting bowling balls out of those. I guess he forgets to change them up every once in a while. Yeah. Anyway, I am Alex.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Meyer.
I'm Eric.
And with us tonight is not Ed. It's a sad story.
He's not here.
I'm a man and how he didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably like eating babies or something.
Or bagels.
Or baby bagels.
Or bagel babies.
Oh.
Punching saints.
Yeah. He does that sometimes. What we're trying to say is, for various reasons, Ed is not here.
Was it punching saints? Like, I don't know if I'm allowed to do that. It's another person's character.
Yeah, don't do that. We have our own characters. I mean, we are not characters at all.
We are real people.
I'm actually a lady.
Yeah, let's not bring that up again. But speaking of characters, that really is a great way to segue into our topic for today.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The Fanon Canon. How fans will take the works that they love and turn it into something else. You know, so let's talk about the Fanon Canon first off. It's the idea that fans create about what's going on behind the scenes in the shows and the things they love, and then how that matches up with what the creators actually intended. That's what we're talking about.
All that little stuff that, you know, isn't quite revealed or isn't quite, you know,
good,
objectively stated straight out. Things that people speculate about.
Right. People just run wild with these ideas. It's pretty great sometimes, and then other times it's not so much.
Almost always terrible.
And, you know, this has become a lot more common these days with the internet. Mm-hmm. You know, as people, you know, 20 years ago weren't able to necessarily talk with a whole bunch of people who like the same thing the way that they can now. So you have a forum dedicated to an entire show, and people, you know, after every episode, people will post, "Oh my God, what's happening on Lost?"
Now everyone has a voice, even the people who shouldn't,
even the voiceless,
mm-hmm. Even the people who express themselves extremely poorly and with lots of typos.
OMG, Ian, what are you talking about?
Oh God, I'm having flashbacks.
A lot of caps lock and like 20,000. Exclamation points.
And don't forget about how everyone's gay.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's an interesting point to bring up, because there are those kinds of fanon elements that are sort of speculative, like in a show that's not finished with its run, you know, what the concluding movements of the story arcs are going to be.
Right.
You know, what's left for us to see. And then also involved in that are interpretations on, you know, what's actually been put out so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember Lost was famous for that. You know, like halfway through the show, everyone was speculating, what the hell's going on with this island? You know, who, the Man in Black and Jacob and Ben and everyone. And everyone, you know, fans are just going crazy looking for symbolism in everything.
And then when the show concluded, it was like, what the hell is going on with this island? And not really much had changed.
What's with the Man in Black?
I knew everything was going on, because Will told me it was dinosaurs.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, well,
that's right.
Yeah, there were.
Dinosaurs.
I could count how many dinosaurs there were in Lost on one hand.
Well, they kind of changed it up there, because you thought it was a dinosaur, or I should say Will thought it was a dinosaur, but in reality it was a fucking polar bear.
No, it was a smoke monster.
It was a smoke monster.
The polar bear was actually a polar bear.
Yeah.
Sometimes a polar bear is just a polar bear.
Yeah, Ryan.
Maybe the smoke monster turned into a dinosaur.
And sometimes the polar bear has sex with Jack.
No, but that does bring up a good point, talking about polar bears and dinosaurs and polar bears having sex with Jack, is that sometimes the fan theories can get pretty crazy.
It is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Well, and I think people use their fanon as a way to sort of expand upon the subtexts that they pick up on in the shows, like, or in whatever kind of media they're writing fanfic or drawing fan art of.
Like the sexual tension between Jack and the polar bears.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes that can get a little bit out there, a little bit strange.
A little creepypasta.
Why doesn't anyone ship the dog Vincent and the polar bear?
I don't know.
Vincent needed some loving.
Vincent's straight.
Vincent was a girl.
Vincent's gay.
But, yeah, I mean, Ryan and Eric, you're a lot more involved in, you know, the fan fiction subculture than Meyer and I are. So, could you guys tell us about Creepypasta?
Well, I mean, Creepypasta is a lot of people like to come up with their own little stories, these headcanons like we were talking about, but they just like to make them very creepy and stuff. Like, there was one I was reading about, what was it, Ed, and Eddie, where all the kids were, like, the cul-de-sac they lived in was actually hell, and all the kids had died in different time periods, and they all came there. It's just grabbing kid shows that people like and they cherish their memories of, and saying, this is how it's fucking horrifying.
Mm. That's Creepypasta.
Huh. Oh, well, it got the Creepypasta name because, like, forums and stuff, it would be common stories, so they'd copy and paste it, and instead of copy pasta, like they call it, it was Creepypasta, because it was creepy.
Okay.
And that's it.
Well, thank you for that explanation of internet history, Eric.
No problem. It's what I'm here for, I guess.
And, I mean, that kind of brings up another element of fandom in general, which is that It's sort of like an echo chamber for ideas that people have about their favorite media. I notice this especially with being in the My Little Pony fandom for a while, especially in the first season, like, for example, Princess Luna's character. At some point in the first season, even though she only had 2 lines in the first episode and she was never seen again in that season, everyone decided that she was this shy, demure person. And, you know, when the episode came out in season 2, she was completely different and everybody was kind of blown away by it.
Mm-hmm.
But there were very few people in that intervening time period who did it differently, if you know what I mean. Like, it was all, like, the same concept of her characterization, just repeated and enhanced. Like, people would build on it.
Right, yeah, like, one person will come up with an idea for it, and, like, someone will come out with a fanfic that ends up being popular, characterizing Luna like that, and then everyone just latches on to, this is my interpretation with that exact same character and that exact same personality.
Yeah.
And eventually everyone's like, this is... It becomes an almost fully fandom-accepted headcanon.
Yeah.
So. That's part of the fan... That's why fanfiction just bothers me. Is that people just make up their own stuff and say, that is the real thing. That's, like, that's their canon. It's like, no, that's not the canon. That's, you know, it's your own interpretation. That's not the... And then they get mad at the show, like, that's not what the character would do. Like, yes, it's the writing the fucking show. They know that's what their character would fucking do.
Well, I think it's more of, like, a temporary canon, you know? Like Ryan was saying, you know, she had 2 lines in the first episode, didn't come back for the entire season, so people filled in the blanks, and then... I mean, that doesn't make what they did any less good. It just, you know, makes it wrong.
Yeah, but people don't see it that way.
Well, people are idiots.
Well, I think that's another aspect we can talk a little bit about, is how people fall in love with their own interpretations to the exclusion of what's actually presented in the media.
That's
you
true.
Know, don't you find that?
Yeah. I mean, there were, you know, up until, like, you know, I could talk about Lost a lot. Up until the very end... There were people who, you know, were still holding on to their theories that everything was going to come together, and who, you know, what the island was up until, like, the last episode, when you found out it was just an island with a weird glowy thing and a cork in it.
I think if you're reading a lot of good fan fiction, then whatever the show would do, it would usually disappoint you. Because people, you know, people would have, people's ideas are not, can't... shows can't really do, like, huge things, and people can, you know, can do anything without, with, you know, no budget in mind or anything.
Right.
And shows that can only, like, do so much.
Yeah.
You know, so it's probably mostly, if you're gonna read, like, some really crazy theories that are, like, awesome sounding, it's probably gonna disappoint you if you watch the show.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're talking about that, you know, licensed comic books in a way are, like, legitimized fan fiction. Like, they have a My Little Pony comic. I know there's a Doctor Who comic. It's sort of legitimized fan fiction. And that's one of the good things about it, you know, especially for something like Doctor Who. There's no set budget in comic.
I think a good way is Star Wars. Star Wars has so much, like, you know, different...
the expanded universe stuff.
Yeah, they have comics, they have books, you know, video games, and then they have own, like, different canons. They have, like, you know, A canon, B canon, C canon.
Right. Because things weren't complicated enough.
Yeah.
Well, and with comics especially, a lot of the people who, you know, were fans themselves as kids, you know, grow up to be artists and comic book writers, and they then get to contribute to that.
Right.
So it's an interesting cycle there.
But that really depends, because, you know, Star Wars, that would work. Like, you could be a kid liking Star Wars and grow up and be a Star Wars artist, like Joe, who we had on.
Right.
But, you know, at this point, you can't really be a kid who's a fan of My Little Pony Friendship is Magic.
Well, what's her face? Lauren Faust, the creator of the show, was a fan of the original.
Right, but I'm saying they have new comics now.
Right.
I'm saying you can't be a fan of the show now.
No.
Who has grown up to become a comic book artist.
Unless you have a time machine.
That's true. But then you wouldn't have grown up. You would have just...
Or you're just jumped a really talented young kid.
Yeah?
Yeah, okay. Shut up.
A comic book savant.
I would like to meet that comic book savant.
Yeah.
Getting back to what we were saying before, I tend to find that headcanons do start out with sort of wild speculation and a lot of varied interpretations.
Right.
And then it kind of swings toward this very static model until something either confirms or disconfirms whatever the widely held belief was.
Yeah. I mean, I think it sort of goes to a group consensus sort of thing. Like, someone will have, you know, idea that's all the way on the left. Someone will have an idea that's all the way on the right. And people will start discussing back and forth, and it'll eventually settle somewhere towards the middle of, you know, the character concept or the idea of what's going on. Like, what if it's this? What if it's this? What if it's both? What if it's this or that or this? And things just sort of come together. Which sort of brings us to, you know, like, taking an idea, a fan idea, and running with it, and, you know, turning it into more than just discussion on a forum.
Right. Hmm. That's pretty much, you know, what fan fiction is, I think, is an attempt to, in a way, sort of reverse engineer what you like and contribute to it yourself in some way.
Yeah.
That's my favorite type of fanfic. It's not the fanfic that says, you know, I don't like fanfic that kind of, like, makes people, like, talk to other characters or stuff. Like, I like fanfic that's maybe, like, you're trying to reimagine the show, or, if a character in the show, but you don't really, or not in the main plot, just, like, you know, just, you know, in the world, I guess.
So not, like, crossover stuff,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, I hated crossover, even as a kid, I hated
Doctor
crossover
Doctor Who meets
stuff.
Lost.
Yeah.
Actually, there's an official Doctor Who meets Star Trek comic.
There is?
Yep.
I hated crossovers, even as a kid.
Well, like, one of the things that I feel like people miss the boat on with crossovers a lot, and fan fiction in general, too, is that in a good story, shit actually has to happen.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't get that, you know. They just want to expand upon, like, well, how is this character feeling during this particular moment? Or, you know, what are the implications of this event in this other character's psyche? The point of view that we don't get to see, the scenes that are missing that were cut from the original work, because they're not really that, you know, important or vital to the story, but people find them interesting. And of course, I think crossovers are notoriously bad because a lot of them are just cracky, where, like Meyer said, you're like, well, what if, you know, what if we took Doctor Who and put him in a room with Alf? I don't know.
Oh, I gotta go. I gotta write a story.
I might actually read that one.
Yeah, because they just think that the story will live on the basis that these characters are with each other. And they forget, wait, I need story to go with this.
What kooky adventures will they get up to? I don't know, you didn't write any.
Man, they just had breakfast.
You know, the show's about, you know, the main characters. And fanfic, I think, is better when it's about, like, the smaller characters and their view of what's big things happening, you know. Like a Star Wars fanfic, I like talking about, like, Rebel, like, you know, people in the Rebel Alliance instead of, you know, Luke Skywalker or Han Solo, because I'm like, no, their stories are told. Alright, that you watch the movies or read the books, they're told. But, like, smaller characters, well, they probably have also books because it's Star Wars and they have. Well, everyone. I mean, Davin Felth, the stormtrooper in New Hope, who just said, looks for droids, has a freaking name.
Yeah. Well, he's the best character.
Davin Felth, yeah.
I mean, like, I apologize to you two, Meyer and Alex, for going back to ponies all the time. But, like, that's a lot of the stories that end up well received are about, like, minor characters. Like, this one popular one called Background Pony that's just about characters in the background that, you know, they don't get anything in the show, but, you know, now they get something in the story.
There's a reason for that.
How dare you talk that way about Carrot Top?
Well, I
oh,
think
God. Another... There's definitely a reason for that.
I think another interesting element of fan fiction is the alternate universe fic. Where people permutate the story choices that the original authors or creators made, and you know, what if one event happened differently in the course of the story, and those can either be really good or really bad, and I think that's because a lot of people don't understand that creators make their choices for a reason. They choose the story paths that work. And even though there may be other alternatives, unless you hit on one of those other alternatives that work, you're dealing with something that's going to hit a dead end.
Mm-hmm. Would you say then the new Star Trek movies are alternate universe fanfic?
To a certain extent. I mean, it's, you know, they rebooted the series in an alternate universe, and I'm sure the people who are writing it are fans of the show, but, you know, like, that's, you know, that's sort of licensed fanfiction, in a way, with, you know, millions of dollars in backing.
Yeah.
Which is more than most fan fiction gets.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, definitely the movie definitely seemed like a fanfic. Like, oh, there's another universe, and but old man Spock comes there.
And what if Spock and Uhura got together instead of Uhura and Kirk? Spoilers for Star Trek, by the way.
I'll give you an example of one that I kind of liked. It was a little bit silly, but also kind of worked in a way. I forget exactly the title of the fic. It was a portal story that I read. Asked the question, what would happen in the second game if instead of putting Wheatley into the GLaDOS body, the system grabbed Chell and fucking, I don't know, duct taped her in, and stuck wires in her head, and all of a sudden she was the, you know, controlling entity there. Hmm. And then Wheatley and GLaDOS go on an adventure in Old Aperture. And it was funny, and it worked. But I think that was because the author made the right, you know, choices that worked for that story path.
I mean, honestly, I've never been a big fan of fan fiction in general. It's just never been something that's really appealed to me. Mm-hmm. It's because I prefer, you know, if it's a fandom I like, I want to get the stories that the creators want to tell. I don't really care what other fans want to come up with, because it's probably not as good as what the creators have come up with for the characters and the stories that I like. That's always sort of been my opinion about fan fiction.
It depends on the show, how good the writers are. Like Jeff Loeb.
Yeah. I mean, if it was season 3 of Heroes, there was probably fan fiction that was better than season 3 of Heroes.
Well, and there are other ways to interpret, other ways to develop fanon, I should say, than fan fiction. There's fan art.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Art I enjoy.
I tend to feel like the fan art crossovers are a lot better than the fan fiction crossovers, because instead of having to create a whole other story that combines two fandoms that actually works, you just have to imply something that could be really cool, you know, in a single image. Yeah. Like another portal example. I've seen this great picture of Eve from WALL-E standing over the potato. You know, like, and that's just the picture of what if Eve found GLaDOS as a potato and decided to, you know, bring her back as the proof that life could exist on Earth again.
I look at fan art and then read fanfic, because fanfic takes time. You know, you have a commitment. You need to take,
right.
Mm-hmm. You know, maybe half an hour to read this fanfic, when you take, like, you know, 10 seconds to look at this fan art. And go, oh yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, but most of the fan art I enjoy is sort of the characters in the world. Like, I'm not a big fan of crossovers in general, because I think it's kind of stupid, because it's never going to happen. Yeah. But if it's like, you know, an interpretation of the character, like something you don't necessarily get to see in the game or the show or the movie or whatever, those I enjoy.
Like, an example I can think of is, I've seen, like, Harry Potter fan art where it's draws like Marauder level error. Like, you know, it shows, you know, James, Harry's parents, and you know, when they were kids and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. That's, I mean, you know, I Sirius is a cool character, and I like Lupin.
Yeah,
and it's cool to see them younger, and you know, when they were in Hogwarts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we're talking about fan fiction all this time, and Ryan and Eric, especially Eric, mm-hmm. you know, you both have created fan fiction before, so you know, what do you do to do that?
I mean, like, I have one story that I just took another fan idea from. Basically, there was one episode, she's now appeared in more episodes, but there was a character that appeared in the season 1 finale of My Little Pony who was just this character playing a cello. And, you know,
what's her name?
Fan accepted name is Octavia. She was never named in the show. But me and a couple of other people noticed that she had, like, the same coloration as, there was an episode where Pinky, they were showing everyone's, like, backstories, how they got their cutie marks, and Pinky had these two sisters, and they're noticing that one of them was the same colorations, pretty much, as Octavia. So I have a story I'm working on of, you know, exploring a little bit of backstory with, what if she's actually her sister. There's a whole bunch I put into it, but I don't know, I just like to take little ideas like that and try to flesh them out. Like, there was another one I did with Spike, the dragon, turning into a pony. It's just a simple little idea like that. It's, something happened, he's a pony now. And, you know, just take it and run with it.
Was he upset he couldn't breathe fire anymore?
He could be. It didn't come up, actually, but I'm still working on it.
I mean, if I was a dragon that suddenly got turned into a pony, I'd probably be pretty pissed off about that.
But he had wings, and as a dragon, he didn't. He wasn't a dragon with wings, so he could fly now.
Well, that's good, but he can't breathe fire. That's bad.
It's a trade-off.
Well, I think you should explore the psychological implication of him losing what makes him a dragon.
Yeah. It's the trade-off attack versus mobility.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, here he is, a dragon, his whole life, who's been able to breathe fire, and now he suddenly can't breathe fire, but he can fly.
I mean, you now turn him into a dragon in a pony body. He needs an operation to turn him back into himself a dragon.
Yeah, he's probably going to need some psychological counseling to deal with this sudden transformation. That's a big change. Yeah. That is, you have to go through psychological counting to get a sex change operation, but you're still the same species.
Yeah.
That's a big change.
Major. I should write a psychologist into it, I guess.
I think you could come up with a compelling psychological profile of Spike on his change from dragon to pony. I think that would be a fan fiction I would read.
Yeah,
a psychological case study.
I'm a dragon in a pony's body.
And going off of fan art, fan fiction, we can move on to Ask Blogs and Roleplay Blogs. Eric, you actually run an Ask Blog.
Yeah, but it's for a character that's an original creation. But
there are plenty of them out there, that are based on sort of either original characters that are in. Just My Little Pony, for example, like there's plenty of like Ask Pinkie Pies and Ask Twilight Sparkles. And then there are things that are sort of crossovers like Ask Dr. Adorable, What if Fluttershy was Dr. Horrible?
And then there are other ones that just take them in crazy directions, like they had the Ask Pinkamina, where she was the insane killer that everyone assumed she'd turn into with that one episode with Party of One.
Right. But, and I've seen... Moonstuck, which is sort of a takeoff of Luna's being stuck on the moon and sort of homestuck because they do the whole, people suggest actions for her and
right
that homestuck was doing toward the beginning of the run.
Well, I know Will used to in the day of MySpace. Will had a Goku. Someone made a Goku MySpace.
Account. I did.
And as a joke,
yeah.
And then Will took it over, and he roleplayed as Goku, and he had friends who also friends on MySpace who roleplayed as other Dragon Ball Z characters, and they used to fight and stuff. And it was like a good year. He pretended he was Goku.
Well, I know my sisters used to roleplay on like Harry Potter forums. Like they made up their own, witches in the Harry Potter world, and used to roleplay online like that all the time. Mm.
That's something that a lot of people do. I've seen there are a lot of roleplay blogs on Tumblr. I've seen people write like whole essays interpreting characters, and then they go and interact with other characters. And sometimes it's just ridiculous and cracky. Like I follow this one person who roleplays as GLaDOS from Portal, who's in the middle of a relationship with Dante from Devil May Cry.
That's bad fanfic, people.
Yeah. See, that's the kind of fanfic that annoys me. That just makes zero sense.
Is it new Dante, or...?
I don't really know Devil May Cry, so I couldn't say.
Well, how long has it been out? How long have they been doing it?
I started following the blog like a couple of months ago. And
It's probably original Dante, then.
Probably original Dante. OC Dante.
White hair Dante.
Yeah.
But I think all of these methods are just ways to take the ideas that are already present in a work and sort of combine them with your own spin and either take them to the next logical step or take them apart and see how they work or try to find the answers that aren't present in whatever it is you're trying to enjoy.
Yeah, well, like we're saying but we were talking about earlier, like, with the pony character. She had, like, two lines and didn't come back. And I guess people wanted to know what was up with that, so they decided for themselves. And then they were wrong, which, happens. And sometimes fans don't like it when they get jostled like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, pretty much like you said, we can actually talk about the fan response to Canon Luna in season two. And it was, you know, there were some people who were like, oh, yeah, that's a neat idea, because everybody had been seeing, you know, shy, demure, you know, introvert Luna.
And then here she is screaming at the top of her lungs.
Right. Flying into the sky, eyes glowing with lightning strikes behind her and thunderheads rolling in. And everybody was just like, what the hell?
And then, of course, you had the people like, that's not Luna, that's not the way we wrote her, it's wrong! And, like, getting all upset about it.
And did the creators go tell them to go fuck themselves into a fire?
Well, they write for a children's cartoon, so yes, but nicer language.
Yeah. Good. See, that's one thing that annoys me. It's like when fans decide that they don't like what the creators have done, and that it's wrong. Like Mass Effect 3. Like, the whole ending of Mass Effect 3, that whole fiasco really pissed me off, because the fans decided that they didn't like what the writers did, so it was wrong. And so it had to be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's sort of, I guess that's one of the problems of having this huge fandom, is that when you create something like that, while you're waiting for the writers and you build everything up in your head, you sort of get this sense of entitlement about it.
That's exactly what I was going to say, yeah, because they just think, oh, we're enjoying your thing, you should be happy and make us happier so we can enjoy it more and maybe give you more money.
But then they complain because if you pander to your fans, then you're obviously a horrible sellout.
Right.
That's because the ending of Mass Effect 3 wasn't very good until they changed it.
I don't think it was great. I thought it was okay. I didn't think it needed to be changed.
I think it just... What people didn't like was it just had no really resolution. It didn't show you the consequences of your final actions. It just, you know, did the same thing basically in each kind of end.
The reaction from fans was like a whole bunch of spoiled kids going, "I don't like this, so it has to be fixed." Doesn't matter if you don't like it.
I mean, in a lot of cases, I agree, but then I will agree that what Myers said, because a large thing of Mass Effect was... I didn't play a lot of Mass Effect, so I'm not speaking for personal experience, but a large thing of Mass Effect was your choices will affect...
Right, no, and I understand what Myers is saying, and I agree with him, but I'm saying the fan reaction was wrong.
Yeah.
It wasn't...
It's not wrong, it was just... too extreme.
It was a sense of entitlement that... We purchased your creation, so do it our way.
Right.
And, I mean, if that was me, I'd say, fuck you. This is, this is our game, you bought it, you don't like it, sorry.
Yeah, you just played the three great games, like, why would you...
Really? You're going to let, like, 5 minutes at the end ruin the whole experience for you?
No, it was three games of awesome build-up and then kind of a... not that much payoff.
Well, I mean...
That's your opinion. Obviously, when they wrote it and made it, they thought it was good.
Just as a little bit of a counterpoint to that, it is possible as a creator to not make the best choice. Like, for example, Fight Club. Chuck Palahniuk wrote the ending with the narrator ending up in an insane
in the
asylum.
Book.
And spoilers for Fight Club, the novel, by the way. You know, and he has the whole underground movement that's still strong. And when they made the movie, David Fincher had them rewrite the ending to end with them actually destroying all those buildings, and that was a much better ending, in my opinion.
Yeah,
you know, and even Palahniuk said so. You know, I wish I had thought of that. So it is possible for other people to have better ideas about your material. It doesn't necessarily make them, you know.
Well, I mean, but there's a difference between having a better idea about your material and having, like, an entitled idea about it.
Okay, like, meaning, like, demanding that you should change it.
Right.
Based on what
it's, my... I mean, like, the reaction, you know, if you took, like, the Mass Effect thing to that, would be someone buy, you know, people buy Chuck Palahniuk's book, don't like it, and then demand he rewrite it.
Mm.
You know, rewrite the last 50 pages this way, because we don't like it.
Like the whole thing now with ponies and with Twilight becoming an alicorn.
Yeah.
And there's online petitions. Hasbro, change it back and make her a unicorn again. And it's like, just deal with it. I mean, like, I'm so about the change, but deal with it. It's, you know, we'll see what they're going to do with it.
Well, I think that is because that little bit of Fanon has had three seasons to fester that Alicorns represent something much more powerful than ordinary ponies, you know, like almost godlike beings. And here, you know, like, you don't just graduate from college and become a god. That's not the way life works.
I mean, like, for yourself.
I mean, like, I don't like the change myself, but I'm not going to be all, like, outspoken screaming about it like a lot of people are. But
Well, and the other thing, too, is, like, even though they've hinted that Celestia and Luna and, I guess, to a certain extent, Cadence are much more powerful than the average pony, they've never come out and straight out said, you know, they're gods on Earth.
Right.
You know, it's never been explicitly stated. That's just been something that people, you know, have kind of inferred from what they've put out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like, but
Fanon canon.
Talking about, you know, like, online petitions, like, it's that sort of thing, like, that sort of entitlement. Like, we don't like what you're doing, so stop.
Right.
Well, then, you know, make your own show. Which I guess, you know, maybe that goes back to fan fiction. I don't like what you're doing, so this is my interpretation of it.
Right.
Hmm. What were you going to say, Mara?
Oh, I was going to say, well, that's a confession to me. Coming, as you said, your own interpretation of it. I have a confession. A couple of months I've been drawing my own fan art secretly because I'm ashamed of it.
What have you been drawing?
Making my own iteration of Marvel characters.
That's cool.
Oh, wait, why are you ashamed of it?
I don't know. Because I hate fan fiction.
Well, Meyer, I'm glad you finally decided to come clean.
I make, you know, I can draw. Because you know what? This is what happened. I was reading Marvel comic book. I was reading, actually, I was hitting, I think it was an episode of, an issue of Hit Girl, where, in the Kick-Ass comics.
Mm-hmm.
She was teaming up with Hit Kick-Ass, and he was wearing a coat, and he was saying how, and she said, you know, what the fuck, take your coat off, it's, you know, wear layers and stuff, and I was like, you know, and then in my head I was like, you know, why don't superheroes have their own, like, winter and costumes or summer costumes? They only have one costume, and that's, I've been drawing their own, costumes and different season appropriate.
So, like, Spider-Man with a big down jacket?
Not really.
And the spider parka?
You know, still looking superhero-y, but also fitting what the you know,
that's cool.
The weather would be.
Mm-hmm.
Does Batman just pull it out of his utility belt?
Yes.
He said Marvel characters.
Oh, okay. I need the bat earmuffs. And the bat fingerless gloves. So I can still type text messages on my bat phone.
Because I was just thinking, I was like, you know, It's probably get cold and hot in costumes. You need to have something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of ventilation in the summer. Some extra.
Well, I can understand why for some of them it wouldn't be an issue. Like Thor.
That's true.
He's a god. He could probably deal with a brisk chill.
That's true. But like, you know, a regular, like Superman, like Spider-Man would be.
Yeah, no, Spider-Man would need it. Fantastic Four really would. I mean, the Human Torch really wouldn't.
Nah.
Because if it's hot in the summertime, he's okay with that. And if it's cold in the summertime, he can just light himself on fire.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that would warm up the surrounding air.
Maybe.
A cat would probably have some.
Yeah. No, that's a good idea. I'd love to see those one day.
Maybe I'll show. And also, I'd be kind of reinterpret. Like, I was in Bruce with the Bruce and Hulk. I kind of was thinking more of their inner struggle, like, instead of, like, you know, him coming a monster, well, he still comes up, he's on the Hulk, but it's more of an internal struggle, like, and Hulk is not just doing because he's angry, because he really wants to protect Bruce Banner, kind of thing, like, you know, because they share the same body,
mm-hmm.
and he does it kind of to protect and keep, you know, Bruce safe, and Bruce, you know, really can't control him, really.
Interesting.
And before we wrap up, there is one thing that Eric and I were talking about before that isn't actually on our show notes that I wanted to bring up, which is Trollfic.
Oh, yeah.
So all about My Little Pony then?
I think I could figure out what that is from the title.
Yeah, the fan fiction that is just so intentionally bad that it's either just bad or sometimes there's a gem and it's hilarious.
I mean, the one that most people will jump to immediately is My Immortal.
Right, the for Harry those Potter who don't, one.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, that is something else.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it'll be like just something, well, I mean, there's still debate over whether that one was real or trollfic, but still, I mean, like, they'll be just, like, such bad ideas and such horrible grammar and everything. Like, there's one I read, and Ryan's also read, called Spiders Is, where Twilight turns into a spider for some reason, and the I can't even remember.
Wait, a pony-sized spider or a spider?
No, just a spider.
That's slightly better.
I didn't even make it all the way through Spiders.
I think I actually did a reading of that. Recorded myself reading it.
It hurt my soul. It hurt my soul so badly.
Okay, if we're talking about that, then I still say that the Fallout My Little Pony crossover then is trollfic, because there is no way ponies would survive in a wasteland with death claws.
But that's
I don't know how many times I have to say.
I know you don't, but that's not really what it's
awesome. I would say any trollfic. Pony crossover is trollfic.
I think it depends who is looking at it.
Actually, any crossover, in my opinion, is trophy. Stay in your own universe.
There have been some good crossovers, though. Yeah. I mentioned this in our Brony episode. Uh-huh. The couple of Doctor Who My Little Pony crossovers that I read, written by, I forget the guy's name, and I even forget what the titles are at this point. I'm really sorry, everybody.
I'm not.
But there were a series of Doctor Who crossovers that I thought were... They probably could have been scripts from either show.
And Fallout Equestria really was a well-written thing. So much that it's a fan fiction that sparked people to write fan fiction about the fan fiction.
I know.
I know you're wrong. I know I'm being stubborn, and but you're wrong. I never read anything, I don't care, but you're wrong.
I think it's funny that there are some fandoms where the source material is taken so seriously, and we've been talking about fan fiction all this time, but fan speculation is another big part of a fan base and the fanon canon.
Of course.
And the first thing that comes to mind for me is A Song of Ice and Fire, the Game of Thrones series. And, because lately I've been going online and looking on forums where people have all these crazy ideas. And one of the things about George R.R. Martin's writing is that he rarely ever comes out and explicitly says something. So people taking like two sentences, four books apart, will piece together like entire backstories to what's happened that really makes sense. Like, I literally read one theory about, in the first book, King Robert's Rebellion, it's not a spoiler. There was one line from one character in like the fourth book that made people think that there was this whole hidden backstory behind the rebellion that we never got to see because it happened before the books. And you read it and you're like, wow, that makes a lot of sense. Okay. But it comes from like one sentence. And you're like, how the fuck do people like... And there are fandoms like that where people will just, Lost was another one, where people will just meticulously pull apart every word and image trying to find the hidden meaning behind
it. And then they said, it's like, oh, they're all dead. It's like, no, they're not. And then they all are dead.
Right.
That's the last spoiler.
That could probably be Game of Thrones spoilers, too.
it's like, oh, they're all dead. And then it's like, oh, and they're like, no, they're not dead. They're alive on the island. And then it's like, oh, wait, no, they're...
Well, they're only dead in the last season.
I thought they all died anyway. They were all in purgatory.
Eventually. Well, yeah, but only in the last season.
Yeah. Yeah, that alternate universe was in purgatory.
The island was real. Mm-hmm. Everything that happened on the island was real. Mm-hmm. The only things that weren't real were the Flash sideways in the last season.
I'm still confused.
That's all right. We'll go. We'll break out the Lost dry erase board and go over it again later.
So, do we have any concluding thoughts about this fandom?
I mean, I personally don't. I'm not a big fan of fandom. And we should keep that in, by the way.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. But I mean, if that's how you want to express yourself, that's fine. And I think fan fiction and fan writing and fan art can be a good way to get yourself started. Like
Joe. He's paid for it.
Right, yeah. But not just that. I mean, like, branching out into other things. Like, if you want to be a writer and you start... I mean, it could be good for you to start with fan fiction because that could help you hone your skill, because you don't have to worry about creating characters because it's already there. Like, it's... part of the work is done for you. Mm-hmm. And then if you get good at that, then you can branch out and go, well, I'm going to make my own character now and do it.
And you just have to hew as close to whatever the source material is as you possibly can.
Right. Like, yeah, so, I mean, if you start with fan fiction, I would say, half of it's already done for you. Like, you have the characters there, you know what they are, you just have to give them a situation and figure out what they would do. And then from there, you can go, well, now, okay, now I'm going to come up with my own characters and maybe keep them in the same world. And then from there, you're like, well, I'm going to come up with my own characters in my own world. And mm-hmm. then you're just a writer.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, an artist. You know, you could start drawing Star, you know, like, you know, sketching Star Wars from books and stuff, and then making your own characters and then expanding from there. You know, I think it's a good starting point. And, I mean, for some people, they'll just write fan fiction. And, you know, that's okay, I guess. But, you know, I think it could be a great way for people to expand, you know, and start something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I have to say about that.
I'm kind of in the opposite camp as Alex, because I enjoy reading fan speculation. I enjoy reading fanfic and looking at fan art and, you know, seeing other people's interpretation of the thing I love. You know, are other people seeing it the same way I am? Is there a way of thinking about this that I haven't thought of yet? And even just the crazy shit, like, you know, what if Doctor Who teamed up with Alf and made a bunch of jokes about eating cats?
I still think we need to write that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all for fan speculation, and I participate in fan speculation. And I like fan art, too, but that's where I stop. There's just stuff, fan fiction just never did it for me.
I'm in the same boat as Alex, and I'm ashamed to know. At least I came out with it. Now everyone knows I...
How's it feel to get that off your chest, Meyer?
Feels good. I was in the closet, and, you know, now I can feel free to...
I feel weird now. I'm the only one who hasn't done fan fiction and stuff.
Well, you know what you gotta do when you go home.
Masturbate?
Right after that.
Write the story about a transgendered drag... Trans species.
Write a psychological profile of a dragon who suddenly turned into a pony.
The trans species.
Well, Eric's already written the story, so you have to write fanfic of his fanfic.
There you go.
Well, no, he hasn't finished the story yet. I just thought, see, Eric could write the story. I'm going to write the psychological profile of the character. It's just going to be like a 50-page thesis paper.
Can it be like fanfic section, like a fanfic in a fanfic?
That's happened. I've actually written a couple of those.
Oh, God.
For those 30-minute pony things, I wrote ones of, like, Rainbow Dash writing a story about her and Rarity meeting Daring Do, her favorite book, her favorite literary character, and everything in the story was written, like, and then Rainbow Dash, who's awesome and has a really cool mane, did this and that. It's fun.
How many levels down did you go?
Just that one.
It's only one level deep.
You don't want to go too deep.
That's two, right, because it's a fanfic and a fanfic.
Right.
That's two levels down.
And you don't want to dig too deep, but you'll reach Inception.
No, it was...
You'll reach...
Limbo.
Limbo.
Yeah. You reach fanfic limbo.
Yeah, that's a terrible place.
Now, I would not want to be in fanfic limbo.
No.
Oof, man. No.
Oof. And there's an old man...
waiting to die.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
There's an old man waiting to die.
How about you? Last final thoughts?
I mean, like, I never really got into the whole fan canon thing until ponies, but I think it's a nice way. I like the idea of taking something little that wasn't
like a pony.
You're a good one.
Yeah, I am.
But, like, taking something little that was never and likely will never be explained in the show, and using that as a stepping stone for something, like, something creative. And, I don't know, I mean, as long as you're not getting crazy and yelling at the creators of the show when they do something that you don't like that goes against your personal headcanon, then I see no problem with it, personally, so...
That's the issue that I have with it too, is that when people get entrenched and you just see like flame wars spread across people's blogs and forums and shit, it's like, oh my god, why are you people so, you know, so adamant about your ideas that have just been confirmed or disconfirmed? I don't know. It's
speaking of personal headcanon, my headcanon for Breaking Bad is that everything's going to turn out fine for everybody.
That's pretty nice.
I would say that's probably,
and if it doesn't happen that way, I'm probably going to murder all of you.
Oh wow.
In my blind rage from having my headcanon shattered.
Ooh, I got some letters to write.
Yeah, I'm going to be moving. Something came up, I just forgot to tell you.
Because I'm pretty sure I'm right about that.
Yeah, I know.
So I don't think it's really going to be an issue.
I forgot to tell you, I'm moving. I just thought of it.
When?
The day before the last episode of Breaking Bad.
All right. Well, I guess we can stop this. I guess we'll help you pack.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, then we'll be right back after we help Meyer put his life possessions into boxes.
Was supposed to write a sketch for the show this week, and he didn't show up.
So. Yeah, don't worry about it, Ryan. We got it covered.
Yeah, the three of us actually we worked on one, and I think we have something good here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's great.
We don't need Ed for this.
Yeah, no, we got it.
All right, so what's the sketch then?
All right, so scene opens. There's a pawn shop, one of those cash for gold places. The door chimes. Ding a ling a ling a ling.
Wait, wasn't Meyer supposed to be the sound effects?
Oh, God, okay. Oh, all right. Yeah. So we'll start again. Okay.
Yeah.
Scene opens. Cash for gold. The door opens. There's a bell on the door.
Ding dong.
That's not a wrong kind of bell. It's like one of those, you open the door and it goes ding dong ding ling. All right, we'll start again. Okay. All right, this time, Ryan.
All right.
Okay. All right. Scene opens. Cash for gold. A man opens the door.
He walks up to
He walks up to the counter. Here's the thing. He reaches behind him, and he gets a bag of gold doubloons and drops it on the counter. The man is a pirate. Yar. All right? Yar, good sir. I'm here to turn me gold doubloons into cash.
The man behind the counter scratches his chin. All right. I think I could give you about 500 for these.
The pirate ponders for a moment. And taps his claw against his face.
Does that be a lot of money?
Kinda.
Then I'll take it.
Take the deal, says his parrot.
Yeah. And then the cash register opens.
Ching!
And the guy gives him the money.
Here.
Thank you very much. And the cash register closes.
Ching!
And then the pirate walks out.
The guy says, have a nice day.
Oh.
Yar, you too, matey.
Have a nice day,
says the pirate.
And then the pirate walks out, opens the door, and leaves. So what'd you think?
It'll work.
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
I don't see what... I don't know what we need that for. I think we got this.
Seriously.
That wasn't that easy. Okay, well, that's it for us this month here at Ragnar Rock. Meyer's all packed up.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah, I didn't realize that all your worldly possessions really just consisted of that one, you know, plastic cup.
Yep. I don't need a lot of stuff.
Yeah, so that was pretty easy.
I don't know why we all had to help.
Yeah.
Well, but, I mean, I feel accomplished that I helped you.
Because all the diamonds in my cup.
That's right. True.
Yeah,
just had that cup full of diamonds.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, it was full of diamonds, but... All right, so... thanks for listening. As always, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Ragnarok. You can also follow us at Twitter at Ragnarok. If you want to have your emails read on the air, you can send us an email at info@ragnarok.com. Or if you would like us to play your voicemail on the air, give us a call. The number is 516-362-NERD. That's 516-362-6373.
Oh, and we actually did get a 5-star review on iTunes.
Oh, we did?
Yeah, Eric, pass me my iPad.
Yep. This makes for a good part of the podcast.
Yep,
it adds realism, Eric. It adds grit.
No, I was saying I wasn't sarcastic.
Oh. All
right.
This makes for a good part of the podcast.
Yeah, people get to see, you know, a little behind-the-scenes peek. at our process.
Mm-hmm.
What are we like when we're trying to scramble for something to say on the air?
Exactly. Yep. We're just filling dead space
while
or dead air.
While we wait for Ryan's iPad to load.
Uh-huh.
That's because Ryan has an iPad 1.
So how about those sports games?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those sporting events sure are something,
they
right?
They sure scored a basket point.
How about that local team of ours?
They know how to fight their opponents.
They are so much better than opposing team.
They beat that squadron.
At that big event.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that big sporting event.
Recently.
Game with Quidditch. The crowd.
Oh, wait, this is not a real sport.
Well, that depends. There are Quidditch teams.
That's true.
At colleges, mainly.
Mm-hmm.
I saw them at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Yep.
You have to run around with a broom between your legs.
I always do that.
And one person is dressed as a snitch.
I always do that, too.
And you have to catch them.
I always catch myself.
It's your favorite thing to catch.
It is.
Dodgeballs at people's heads.
Did you know that if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball?
No.
I was not aware.
Yeah.
That's good knowledge to have.
Also, if you can dodge traffic, you can dodge a ball.
If you dodge traffic, you could probably dodge a lot of things.
Not necessarily.
That's probably right.
You can't you can't dodge time.
Can't dodge a grenade if you could dodge traffic.
But you could hit it back if you could play baseball.
Yeah, but that's not the fucking analogy.
Well, I'm changing the analogy. I'm switching things up.
I can't deal with this.
I dodged your analogy.
Okay, so I
caught
found
it and threw it back at you.
I found it.
Oh, good. Okay.
This is by Lokua the Okami. It was left exactly a month ago today.
Ooh.
It says, love the variety of games as well as the consistency of Alex's Eclipse Phase game.
Whoa. Oh, thank you.
Good on ya, Akash.
Thank you very much. What's his name?
Lokua the Okami.
Lokua? I'm not sending you anything, but if I could, I would.
Wait, why do you think Lokua is a guy? Maybe he's a girl.
That's true. I'm not sending he or she anything.
Anyway, she goes on to say, all the APs are great and the sound quality is spot on. Wow. Highly recommend this podcast for those who enjoy RPGs and nerdism in general. Keep up the great work.
Oh, wow. Well, great work. Thank you very much. That was such a glowing review.
Yes, it was.
And I think we can thank Ryan's microphone for the wonderful sound quality.
Mm-hmm. Part of me was really hoping that we would be building all that dead time and then the review would just say, cool.
We do actually have a review that says yes, just yes.
Well, thank you for that too.
Yeah, why didn't you read that one, Ryan?
We read that one a couple, 15 or 16 episodes ago.
Oh, we're up to 31 now. I can't keep track.
Really, I can't really keep track. And now, when we come out of this dimension that the gypsy sent us, my brain's kind of
screwed. No, you're the only one who was cursed by the gypsy. Well, you were the gypsy dimension. The rest of us are hiding from the robe overlord.
This is the longest outro of all time.
And who do I talk to in the gypsy dimension?
Those are probably our doppelgangers. They're pretending to be your friends, but they're really just trying to help you move so that they can eat you. They like to use a vegetable peeler to peel the flesh from people while they're alive.
Yeah.
And they cook it like pasta and eat it.
For instance, I ran into Doppelganger Ryan one time, and he tried to season me. And, pass it off like it was a casual thing. I just sprinkle a little red pepper on you. No.
Doppelganger Eric is just exactly like me, except he spells his name with a C.
Wow, what an asshole.
Yeah, I know, right?
One time I ran into Doppelganger Alex, and he stabbed me with a meat thermometer. It's like he thought I was in an oven or something. Like he wanted to see what my internal temperature was so they could figure out how much he was going to have to cook me.
No wonder that's why I went and moved so bad.
Yeah.
that's understandable.
Yeah.
Doppelganger shenanigans going on.
Yeah. So. And remember that Robe Overlord we were talking about earlier?
Yeah.
The
episode title?
Yeah, he's a bad guy.
That's what I'm moving in with.
You know why he's a bad guy? Because he's angry that he can't experience emotions.
Exactly.
That is my new roommate.
Oh, you're living with the Robe Overlord?
Oh, yeah.
In the Robo Palace?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
My friends.
Alright, well, enjoy living in the Robo Robo Palace.
It's better than the Gypsy Dimension.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Just don't get him pissed off at you, otherwise he'll fire a bowling ball out of his, wrist-mounted missile launcher.
And he does prepare for heroes to come at any time, so his palace is full of traps. Mm-hmm. If you have to get up and pee in the middle of the night, just grab a bottle or something. Do not leave your room. There are saw blades everywhere.
It's like Super Meat Boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
He also likes to cuddle.
Oh, well.
It's also like Super Meat Boy.
Yeah. He's a 25-foot tall robot, so that's it's got to be interesting.
All right, well, before this goes any further, I'm Alex.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Mark.
I'm Eric.
All right, this has been another episode of Ragged Rock.
Jesus.
Sorry about that, folks. See you next time.